And we trust and pray that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Now, I've already gotten a request from Alan Hamby, and he said, I think this is a good day that we might sing God is So Good. So if it's convenient for you, would you please stand up and let's sing together. God is so good. God is so good.
It's real. He's so real to me. What did he do? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me. Everybody, what do we do? He's so good to me.
Please be seated. Thank you so very much. Brad, you had a good singing, a selection of songs today, and Buzz, appreciate your good prayer. Certainly appreciate what one of our elders, Jeff, has to say. And Joe Winicky, you did a great job in reading the scriptures. We appreciate everybody who participates in the work of the Lord here at O'Neill. Happy 4th of July. What do you got planned? Oh, I hope that you'll have a wonderful day and things will work out real well for you. This is the weekend that we're excited about because we live in America and we're thankful for the great privilege of being here. And one thing that we're surely grateful for, and that is having liberty, being free. Celebrating the 4th of July as a happy Independence Day. Hope that'll be a great occasion for you this week. But the most important thing of all is to listen to the liberty that's given to us from the Word of God. Wherefore, lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. What a statement. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, the Word of God. Why? Because it saves our souls. And then he adds, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Can't just hear it. You got to also believe it and then practice it. Put it into practice. He says, for if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, he goeth his way, and immediately he forgetteth what manner of man that he was. Looking in the mirror. Everything looks okay. Turning around, forgetting about that. But whoso, and here's the point, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. We want to be emphasizing this month sermons from the book of Psalms. What better way to think of the wonderful Psalms, because therein is found the law of God. And the Bible tells us about that law. It is described to us. And the Bible says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to be blessed in the deed. I want to be blessed by God, don't you? Surely you do. All of us want to. And the Bible tells us how that can come to pass. Whoso looketh, you got to look into the perfect law of liberty. And if you'll continue in that perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work of this man that does it, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You know the word law? Kind of a dirty word to some people. They see law as something that takes away their freedom. Their liberty to live as they please. But just for a moment, try to imagine our world today without law. Chaos would reign. Murder, rape, stealing would be rampant. No one would be saved. Civilization would break down. So law is good because it protects us. My grandson, as I was working on this sermon, he said, people, guess what? Him being a Cub Scout. He said, we have a law in the Cub Scouts. And I said, what is it? I'd heard him mention this before. And that law is being a trustworthy individual. Loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. And guess what? And he said, we also have an oath. My own, my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the scout law and to help other people at all times to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Interesting. Law. James says, we have a law. To some people, if you talk about law, to them they're saying, wait a minute, we're not under a law today. They're thinking about being under the law of Moses. However, in James chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, James says there is a law which is called the perfect law of God. It is our rule of action. In this gospel, which is the law of Christ, is our standard of conduct. A Christian's life is to be regulated today by that law, the New Testament law of Christ. Yes, under the old law, they had many, many things that they were told. And yet, even though now we're no longer under that law, in the Ephesian letter, in Ephesians 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2, 15 through 16. Under the law of Christ, when we break it, we sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the payment of the wages of sin is death. Well, my friend, if we didn't have a law, we wouldn't be guilty of sin. Whosoever transgresseth, the Bible tells us, whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. When Paul was writing to Titus, in Titus 2, the Bible tells us in verse 11 through 14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And notice what it does. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, no wonder when we look at God's will. The Bible adds then, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Paul said to Titus, you write about my law. You tell the people about the law of grace, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. But what does it do? The grace of God teaches. Teaches us how to live. That's what law is all about. Surely it's binding upon us today. The three things that I found in the Bible with regards to the law, the gospel today, there are three things that are spoken of, and that is, number one, it is called a law. In Galatians 2 and verse of Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Does Christ have a law? Yes. What's it called? It's called the law of Christ. In the book of James, chapter 2, James writes, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. You have the law spoken of as being the law of Christ. Then the royal law. Thirdly, it's spoken of as the law of the Spirit of life. In Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Sure, there's a law. That law brings about the wonderful blessings for those who obey it of being in Christ Jesus. Number two, that law is perfect. It needs no addition, no subtraction. It needs no revision. That law that James says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, it is indeed brought about by he who is perfect. The gospel is the complete, the whole, lacking nothing. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why was it given? It's given us to provide us with what? To provide us with that which will make us what God wants us to be. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. There's the word. It's a perfect law that makes people perfect. How does it make imperfect people perfect? When people obey it, do what he tells you to do, then you're complete. No wonder in the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verses 7 through 11. Look at it. God's word has the power, and surely is the power of God, to bring about the conversion. The Bible says, beginning in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. All right. James says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Doesn't need to be added to. Don't be changed. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. How do you convert people? How do you get people to get their souls right with God? You tell them what law, the perfect law of liberty, tells them. And then he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then concludes, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. The perfect lawgiver, who cannot be better. And that law that he gives is exactly perfect, not imperfect. It's perfect in all situations, under everything that we need, every situation we're in. God's power bringing about the salvation of man. But let man tamper with that. When man begins to say, but God doesn't really mean what he says. Remember what God said to Ezekiel? We're studying that in the auditorium class. Remember what God said to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, you take my law. You speak my law. Tell them, yes, I want them to do exactly what I say, or they will be destroyed. We're under a wonderful law. The Bible calls it a perfect law. When? It came from a perfect God. And whenever God wants us to do something, he tells it in a way we cannot misunderstand it. And all look at it. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law, which is the gospel of Christ, the law, that royal law, the law, which is of the Spirit of life, it tells us about liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What does it do? Delivers us. From what? The old law. We're not under the law of Moses, but we are under a law. What law are we under? The law of grace. The law that comes from God Christ. It is the law of Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans chapter 8, in verse 2, the Bible emphasizes the need for us to do what the Lord tells us to do so that we might be acceptable in the sight of God. Friend, let me tell you, it brings about that wonderful realization of justification. And you couldn't be justified by the law of Moses, but today we can be. That's liberty. That's freedom. That means we've been made free. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Think of that. You know what God wants you to do as far as a man is concerned? He wants every man to serve Him, and those who are married to love their wives, do everything that they possibly can to show, just like Christ did the church, their great love. And He wants you wives, every person in this building, everyone, every woman who is married, to do what? Submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. You know what that does? That just frees you. Why? Because when you do those things, you know there is no condemnation at all. There's freedom, freedom of liberty in the law that is given to us by the wonderful Savior. In the book of John chapter 8, 34 through 36, John talks about being free from sin. Paul writes about this in Romans 6 also. In verses 16 through 18, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, your servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but now have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Freedom. Why? That's what the law of Christ brings to us, that wonderful liberty that we have from Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, you learn that law does not give you license to sin. Why is it wrong for a person to steal? Because the law of liberty has told us that we must not. Even in the book of Ephesians, where the Ephesians, Paul was writing to the brethren, and he talks to them, let them that stole steal no more. Under the law of Christ, which is the law that brings about liberty, when you don't steal, you're not guilty of the law. You know when God has brought to you that freedom which we find in His law. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 16, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Paul in Romans chapter 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul had just illustrated in chapter 5 how wonderful it was to be a Christian, because by grace we're saved through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Their conclusion was, then perhaps maybe what we ought to do is go out and sin. The more you sin, the greater the grace. And look what God says through Paul. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. May it never be. Why? For if we become dead to sin, we're no longer to live therein. Liberty. To be free. To live as God wants us to be. Not to live as we want to live. Well, my friend, if there was no law today, how could somebody say, hey, look, I don't know how you can tell me that I can't go out here and tell a lie. Well, I can tell you why you're not supposed to lie, because the law of Christ tells us that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. If that's true, which it is, then truly we see that that law brings liberty not to do as you please, but to please God. Truly, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Corinthians brethren, he says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. True liberty is living as we should live. True liberty will bring about to you and those fellow men that you are with the kind of life that God wants you to live, so that they too may enjoy that great liberty. Sometimes you find that people will say, how then can I really measure up? You can't. The only way you can be saved is to be saved in Jesus Christ. And every time the Lord tells us, when you and I sin, you remember when John was penning those beautiful words in 1 John chapter 1? John tells us, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Yet, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for all them that love His appearing. I want to ask you a question. How do you get sin removed? Being a child of God, once you have been baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, you become a child of God. As a child of God, you want freedom, yes. What kind of freedom? Freedom that comes to us through the law of Jesus Christ. Yet sometimes we sin. Sometimes we engage in that which we should not. And John writes, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. I'm so glad I'm a Christian, aren't you? Can you imagine? You can go to God, ask God to forgive you. And what happens to sin when you meet the conditions of pardon? Just washed away. Just like a child who's dirty, hands all filthy, goes in with instruction of a mother and a daddy, wash your hands, get the dirt off, and they can put it under the faucet, and before you know it, their hands are all clean. Every child of God has that great freedom of liberty in Jesus Christ. And that's where salvation comes, through the wonderful Savior. No, we don't have a license to go out and engage in all things we want to engage in. No. Except those things be it that we want to engage in the things that God wants us to do. So do look at James 1 verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Whoso looketh where? Into the perfect law of liberty. What would America be today if there was no law? What would people be like? You know and I know. If every man decided to do what he wanted to do, he would engage in the things he wanted to engage in without any law. What a catastrophe it would be in America. We live in this wonderful country. What a privilege to know that July the 4th reminds us of men that gave so much and women that gave so much for our freedom. And we salute them. We thank God for them. We as children of God today remember the one who went all the way to the cross to die, so that man might be free eternally. His name, Jesus Christ. Are you one of His disciples? Are you walking in the freedom that comes through that perfect law of liberty? You grasp His will. You want to do His will, for you want to please Him that you are seeking to serve. If you've never obeyed His gospel, become one of His today. Believe in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you're a child of God and you haven't been living like you ought to and others know it, ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. What a wonderful freedom that we have in Jesus to live as Jesus wants us to live. To someday hear Him say unto us, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." He's promised in Matthew 18, verse 20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them." Here he is. He's waiting for you. He's inviting you. We extend his invitation. Won't you come to him and obey him while together we stand?